Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, aligning on him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, as with the baptism of Jesus, when the Spirit of God descended like a dove and came over Jesus, in the same way we invite you this morning to fill us with your Spirit. Prepare us to receive whatever you have for us this morning and empower us to live out our lives accordingly in the week to come. On this day, we simply listen with our spiritual eyes as we remember that voice that spoke to all the people gathered and they heard, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Amen. Biblical historians tell us that there was that period of 400 years from the end of the Old Testament where the last of the prophets heard the voice of God, heard the word of God and proclaimed it, to that time where we have been looking at during Advent and Christmas, the time where the Spirit of God was present and the people were aware of who it was who was born. With the birth of Jesus. We studied about the coming of the wise men and how last Sunday we looked at how they brought their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and proclaimed Jesus to be king, high priest, and one who would live and die for all of us. But I want to bring us to this point, for after the birth of Jesus, as we follow in the Gospel of Matthew, as we have been doing, we see that Jesus was born in Matthew 2, and in Matthew 3, Jesus is already grown up. Again, some silent years. What happened? What was Jesus about during those years from birth to age 30? We do have that one story in one of the Gospels about what happened to Jesus when he was 12 years old. When his parents traveled in order to be to handle government business and church business, and in their trip, traveling with friends and relatives, they assumed Jesus, the boy, was with them, and he was not. They traveled a day's journey before they found out that Jesus wasn't with them. Sort of an old version of the Home Alone story. They returned to Jerusalem and they found Jesus in the temple. And as a 12-year-old boy, he was having discussion with the scribes and the religious leaders, and they were amazed. Everyone was amazed at the depth of his understanding, his intellect, and all that he was discussing with them through question and answer. Well, that's the last we hear of Jesus, then until age 30. A couple theologians I want to point out. One, a very familiar, popular theologian, William Barclay, said this: Jesus was growing up. He was with his parents in a good home. What better way to prepare one for life than with a good, strong father and mother. George Herbert, another who writes on this, said this: Jesus was with Mary, a strong and wonderful mother, and his word is this: a mother is worth 100 schoolmasters. Jesus was being prepared for life. In Scripture, we read about the wedding in Cana of Galilee, and that's the point where Jesus performs his first miracle. But what I want us to think about in that story, it's a wedding. And in a wedding, families would all be gathered, the entire family. But in this story, there's only Jesus and his mother and siblings. No dad. There is no Joseph in the story of the wedding in Cana of Galilee. So we can only assume that by this time, Joseph has passed away. Which means Jesus, as the oldest son in the household, in that culture, at the passing of his father, would then be responsible for care of the family and running the family business and caring for mother and siblings. Jesus would have become the carpenter, the craftsman, as his father was in the village. And if you think about that, that too must be a way of being prepared for all that would follow. I don't know about all of you and the first jobs that you held, but I didn't have a choice as to where I worked because my father owned a service station. And working at the gas station was my first job, like it or not. And this is what I learned from my dad. If you have a stomach ache and you're upset about something or not feeling well, the customer is never to know that. If you're having a bad day, it doesn't matter. You have a good day with the customer, and whatever they want to talk about, you talk about. Now, I've been to a number of stores or customer service counters where those people didn't learn the same lesson my dad taught. But if we think about Jesus, he had to interact with all kinds of people. Those who were good customers, those who maybe didn't want to pay their bill, those who said the product wasn't good because they had some ulterior motive. Jesus had to work with all kinds of people. He grew in character and as a person with his parents and with his job. And when he was about 30, and by that time his siblings were older, then it became time for him to begin his ministry. And how did it begin? You remember back to the time of his birth when Mary discovered that she was pregnant along with Elizabeth, and the angels spoke to them, as we covered all that in Advent and Christmas. Jesus and his cousin John were both a part of what the angels pronounced as what the Spirit of God would be doing in preparing for the future. John went out baptizing and preaching, calling for repentance. Now you might say, well, what's so significant about that? Any street corner preacher could be calling people to repent. But a historian by the name of Linsky calculated, and by his figures, up to 200,000 people may have gone out to listen to John. What was John saying? Was he a great learned teacher from the schools of education? No, John wore camel skin outfits, ate locusts and wild honey, and simply stood out in the wilderness where people had to go hear him, and he proclaimed a message of repentance. and baptism. Let's take this a little further. There are some who think that John might have been a part of a community called Qumran, a place where there were monks living a monastic lifestyle, where in Qumran they did three things every day. They prayed for a third of the day. They copied scripture. They copied from a master onto other scrolls, and then seal them up in clay jars and put them in caves, and that later becomes the source of the material for the Dead Sea Scrolls. But that's another day. That's a story for another day. And the third part of the day, they would wash and clean and do all those things. There is some speculation that John may have grown in his understanding and knowledge in that community, but we don't know that. The only reason that is speculated, because that community focused on the Messiah, and they were in the same location where John was, the Jordan Valley and out in the Dead Sea area of what is now Israel. So coming back to John, teaching a message of repentance, asking people not to sin anymore, that they might be more aware of God, calling them to baptism. And the people came. The people came in great numbers. Now here's where we scratch our heads and say that just by human way of thought, this doesn't make sense, that people would travel to hear this. But as scholars have connected the pieces, the voice that had been silent of God for 400 years was now coming through John, and people were in contact with God. Here's how we know this. In Jewish culture and in religious teaching of that day, there was not the concept of repentance. There was not the same kind of concept of turning from one's sins. So this was new. And John was saying, God expects you to quit sinning, repent of those things that get in the way of you hearing from God, believing God, receiving God. And John said, and as a public demonstration of this, he called them to baptism. Here again, in Jewish culture, they didn't baptize. Baptism was not a part of their culture. They had one ceremony like baptism when a proselyted new person to the Jewish faith would come in. They would have a similar thing like baptism, but baptism, as John was preaching, was a new thing. Repent. Quit sinning. Open yourself to the reality of God and be baptized. And the people came to hear. And they believed. And they received. This was the beginning point for Jesus. This was the time as the people had been readied. The Old Testament said that John would be like Elijah who came to prepare the way. The preparation had been made. It was time for Jesus. And there in the midst of John preaching and baptizing, Jesus shows up. John, fully aware who Jesus was, they were cousins, and they knew of their beginning, they knew of their parents, they knew of their mother's pregnancies, and they knew about the angels that proclaimed what they would be about. And Jesus shows up. John is baptized, and he stops everything. He said, oh no, no, I can't baptize you. I need to be baptized by you. John was saying there's one coming who is greater than me. Let's hold this picture. And let's fast forward a few years. when Jesus is with his disciples, teaching, preaching, and word comes to Jesus, John has been imprisoned. John's disciples came to say, John has been imprisoned, and had some questions, and Jesus stopped everything to say to his own disciples, what was it that the people went to go hear John? Did they go to hear a great prophet? Yes. But more than that, they went to hear the greatest prophet of all time. More than Abraham, more than Moses, more than Elijah, the greatest prophet of all time, they went to hear him. And Jesus said this, but I'm teaching you a new thing. And you must understand, though John was the greatest, anyone who is the least in the kingdom of God, in other words, the most humble and putting God first and other people, for him or her who is least in the kingdom of God, they are greater than John. So there at the baptism, Jesus was immersed underwater. When he came up out of the water, there was a voice from heaven. And the Spirit of God, the scripture says, like in the form of a dove, a dove being the symbol of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God in the form of a dove came down upon Jesus. And everyone heard, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. C. Carl Lenny Jr. once wrote that this particular scene was the first time, other than Old Testament prophecies, but the first New Testament illustration clearly defining the Trinity. For in this story, we have God the Father speaking from heaven, a voice that was heard. God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove that came upon Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God. In the receiving of his Spirit, his ministry began. That which was proclaimed from the days of the Old Testament and lived out with the announcement of the angels, the coming of the wise men, the hearing of the shepherds, and all of that to proclaim this moment where the ministry, the teaching, the life of Jesus would connect with you and me. Lord, on this day, let us hear that message from John. Let us repent so that sin doesn't keep us from walking with you. Let us proclaim our faith, as in baptism, to say, yeah, Lord, I believe. And let us then receive and be commissioned like those people out with John and Jesus. We have been through Advent. We've been through Christmas. We've been through Epiphany. On this day, we learn about picking up our coat, understanding our call, and stepping forth into the ministry that we have been prepared for. Let us believe, receive, for the baptism of Jesus was about the call of you and me to loving relationship with God. Amen.